Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, October 14th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, it was just another crummy day in the gold and silver markets, although I still think we're, you know, finding a bottom here, and I think this is holding strong here, so this is a good sign. But again, I mean, how many days this week, every day, since they've started hitting it, it's up in the morning, and by the afternoon rolls around, we have pressure on gold. Gold, $1,252 for gold, down $6.20. Silver was down 5 cents. See, the same thing with silver at $17.52. Platinum, it was up earlier in the day. New York spot price after market, you're looking at $939, little change. And palladium is up 7 at $650. The USDX today was trading much higher, 0.58 at 98.09. So really not a bad day for gold, considering you've got the USDX at 98, over 98, and we had a little pullback in gold. Not bad at all. Crude oil down 0.110 at 50.34, holding above that 50 level pretty strongly. And the paper markets today, let me bring those up. I mean, the Dow was up over triple digits, and it only managed to keep 39 of those points. So the Dow was up 39 at 18,138. The NASDAQ basically unchanged from yesterday, 52.14. Same way with the S&P, 21.33. So all of the markets were up fairly strong. You're not sure what happened here at the late few minutes of trade to reverse it so strongly. I'll have to see if I can find something while we're on the program, considering the strength of, I mean, it was up triple digits all day long, and everything reversed. So you had the 10-year yield, 1.79, strong number there. Euro 110 down 0.74. Fear factor, that's stronger than it was yesterday, or at 41 versus the high 30s yesterday. I know retail numbers came out a little bit stronger today. For September, I can't imagine that would do much at the end of trade. Again, these markets are just so, it's just hot air that's blowing them. in either direction. Just a lot of hot wind there blowing these markets. And I'm sure you're not going to hear that on Wall Street or anything else, but certainly it seems that's what it is.
And one thing about the gold.
I'm talking about the paper markets.
Well, I was just talking about the gold. It was $1,257.60 last Friday. It's yeah. 12. That was the bid price. It was $1,251.60 today. It's down $6 for the week.
But we had highs all week long.
Oh, yeah.
Up to the
we had
up
highs
to
and
the
lows
60s,
and whatever.
Yeah.
But we've lost.
So I think this is a bottom that we're finding here, and I think we're going to see this through the election. I mean, are you kidding? I don't know if people are worn out with this election as much as I am, but please let's vote. Let's up the voting. You know, let's make it October, October 20th so that we can all vote. But, a lot of distractions out there, folks. Lots and lots of distractions.
So, point is, I guess you have to pay attention because we live in unstable times.
Absolutely. Italy, there was a report today, Italy. Everything's about China. All the, you know, everything is sort of focused on China. There are bad numbers that are coming out and, you know, their currency weakening and so forth. So it's China, 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 you know, for this week anyway. Who knows what it'll be next week, but this week is China. But what's interesting, I find this interesting, and it's something a little different. We've talked about this before on the program, but the Italy's public debt would exceed 150% of the value of all goods and services or GDP produced in the country without the contribution of the illegal and underground economy to national wealth. So I guess
thank God for the mafia. They're keeping Italy alive.
Thank goodness for prostitution, drugs, and you know, I don't know what else they have in there. But the ratio of debt to gross domestic product this year would amount to 152.6%. This is according to the calculations of Bloomberg. And these are also the so-called non-observed economy that was released on Friday by the
that also includes bribes to politicians. Those are also part of the non-observed economy.
This was also released by today by the Rome-based statistics office, ISTAT. I guess it's probably ISTAT. And that compares with the official debt load of 132.8% that was forecasted by the government last month. But the total of underground and illegal economy was 211 billion euros, which is 232 billion in dollars, and that was in 2014. And this is the most recent year that which that data was available, the data was available. And this is illegal drugs, smuggling, prostitution, in addition to taxes evaded by companies and individuals. And jobs not complying with labor regulations were 3.7 million that year, ISTAT also said. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting that
it's interesting,
it's
but
so
how
bad.
Accurate are
how
the numbers?
Bad their economy is so bad. Well, how bad is it? It's so bad that they have to include illegal drugs and smuggling and prostitution just to keep their debt ratio down. But anyway.
There's an article from Bloomberg talking about China. It said the yuan is set for the biggest weekly drop since January as pressure rises. China's yuan is headed for the biggest weekly decline since January as mainland market returned from holidays to face intensified depreciation pressures from the rising dollar. Now, that's what interests me about this. They're sitting back and saying, well, the dollar's going up, and that's what's pushing the Chinese yuan down, causing inflation. And I'm sitting here thinking that no, the dollar is not going up of its own accord. It's going up as a reaction to the inflation that's been caused in China and the inflation, the depreciation we see in the English pound. I don't think the dollar is the cause. I think the dollar is the result. The rising dollar is the result. Talk about it on the program periodically. We have a teeter-totter relationship between the dollar sitting at one end of the teeter-totter as the world's reserve currency. It's been the only world reserve currency worth mentioning. That's changing to some degree, but it's still the primary world reserve currency. Sits on one end of the teeter-totter. All the rest of the fiat currencies sit on the other end. When those currencies move downward in concert, they have to push the dollar up. And I think that's what's happened here. I think they're, so it's just an interesting article to me that they are alleging that China's yuan is inflating, it's devaluating, it's losing value. They're saying because of intensified pressures from the rising dollar. I think the dollar is a reaction. I don't think it's a cause. Go on, it says the increased stress on the exchange rate is coming from the greenback. Again, I disagree, which has climbed for two straight weeks amid rising odds of a Federal Reserve interest rate increase, as well as disappointing Chinese trade data. Again, I doubt that the dollar is the cause on this. In many regards, I think from the government's perspective, the dollar is a victim of this because government, being the biggest debtor in the world, can't stand deflation. They should not want deflation, which is an increase in the value of the dollar because it effectively makes the value of the national debt greater and harder to repay. They want inflation, and it's not a temporary situation. We have watched since 1971, the dollar has lost now over 95% of its purchasing power as compared to gold. That's inflation. And it's a policy that has lasted for over 40 years. It's evidence they want inflation, want inflation, want inflation. The Federal Reserve, if you listen to their own reports, they said we've got to have more inflation, got to have more inflation to stimulate the economy. The government wants inflation, or it certainly says it wants inflation, and therefore you have to wonder, you have to suppose, I do, that the government doesn't want deflation, and that's what they're getting right now. Why? Because we have a global trade. We are in what I would describe as a global depression. Some will say it's only a recession. Some will say it's only a little downturn. I think it's a global depression. We can debate that. But insofar as the global trade has fallen off, individual countries are fighting to capture as much trade as they can. And what they've done is they're trying to devalue their currency to make their products more attractive, cheaper, and more attractive on the international market. And when one country devalues its currency, then other nations sit back and they say, well, we have to devalue ours in order to compete with these other nations. We wind up with currency wars that are spawned by a collapse in global trade. If trade was going strong, we wouldn't have the currency wars. If we didn't have the currency wars, there would not be consistent pressure to cause inflation in the foreign currencies and thereby contribute at least to deflation in the American dollar. Got that teeter-totter relationship between the world reserve currency, which is a fiat dollar, and the rest of the fiat currencies. When they go down, we have to go up. When they go up, we have to go down. I think they're the ones that are driving this, and I think the dollar has become a victim of its status. It worked fine for us. The status as a world reserve currency worked wonderfully well, or at least it seemed, so long as global trade was increasing. Then the dollar, then the foreign nations did not compete, they did not devalue their currencies, and the United States dollar continued to enjoy a certain amount of inflation, which allegedly stimulated the economy. But now that the global economy is down, foreign nations are competing to devalue their currency, they're causing significant inflation in foreign currencies, pushing the dollar up, and I think it makes it more valuable, and I think it's the last thing government wants, and therefore I think it's a temporary phenomenon. Sooner or later we're going to see some serious inflation and perhaps hyperinflation in order to get rid of the debt, the U.S. debt, diminish the U.S. debt. That's my guess, that's my prediction, but we'll watch and see.
Well, the problem is we're going to have world inflation. U.S. producer prices, it rose in September. It was the biggest year-on-year rise since December of 2014. We did have retail sales gain 0.6% after a 0.2% decline in August. But you also had China, their producer prices, they also rose. But the late news that reversed the markets was a Janet Yellen comment late in the session, trading session today. She was at a luncheon that the U.S. economic potential is slipping and may need aggressive steps to rebuild it. Remarks that sent the ripple through the financial markets. So, you know, she's talking about aggressive steps to rebuild it. Well, gee, what could that be, Mrs. Janet Yellen? There's comments that she's going to try to look for every excuse not to hike rates. And so, again, this is, you know, just the opposite of what they have said to, you know, and when everyone expecting some sort of a rate increase, and therefore we did see the reversal in the markets. Gold didn't respond to it, but we might see a little bit more of a response in gold come Monday. I'm not quite sure how late of the day that this was, you know, quarter after 3, you know, 3 o'clock, something like that. So gold spot market was already closed, so you wouldn't see any reaction to it, so, which is what they usually do. That's why all these announcements and releases are all, it's always after the gold market. The physical gold market closes at 1:30. That's when they release all the information. So you can't have any impacts on gold. And don't think that it isn't timed because of that, because it's exactly what it is. But yesterday you had disappointing Chinese trade. Today the producer prices unexpectedly rose for the first time in nearly 5 years, and consumer inflation also beat expectations. So that's again in relationship to their falling currency. But you know what's interesting is everybody thought that when China joined the IMF, the SDRs, October 1st, that it would be reversed. You know, everyone was anticipating that the dollar would be reset and the China would enjoy a stronger, well, not enjoy, but would experience a higher currency, and ours would drop. Well, it didn't happen.
Surprise, surprise.
Not to say that it's not going to happen, but, you know, people always talk, Al, our currency is going to be revalued. You know what? Our currency has already been devalued. I mean, we're already there. You know, it's just the final, you know, nails on the coffin, so to speak. Not to get too Halloween-y, but it's final nails in the coffin that we're experiencing now and will experience in the very near future. Your dollar already doesn't buy anything.
Well, it's been reduced by over 95% in your lifetime and mine.
I know. So we've already seen it devalued.
And there's only a few percent left before it's worth zero compared to what it was back in 1971 when we went completely off the gold standard.
So how are those dollars holding up for you folks and your purchasing power?
They're not. You can't save
those
dollars.
One of the problems. Everybody talks about negative rates. Well, even if you put your money in the bank, I mean, it's still not even keeping up with the rate of inflation. You know, so you're still losing money, even at the paltry rates that the banks pay and the paltry rate of inflation that they tell us, that they lie to us about. You know, and that's what's wrong. So many of these numbers and so many of these analysis on what's going on, it's all based on bad numbers. So it's really, you know, Al, it really is, you know, when you know the truth and you see how distorted everything is, and when Janet Yellen can make a statement, just what could she mean by, you know, having
aggressive
to do something?
Steps?
Yeah.
I know, like what?
Negative rates, maybe?
I don't know what they mean, but none of it works.
Well, none of it works. You get knee-jerk reactions to the, you know, to some degree, but long-term, no. It works for them. It works for the banks. It works for Wall Street. It works for the multinational corporations. It works for all the elite, but it doesn't work for you and me. It doesn't work for the people in this country that are trying to make a living and save for retirement and so forth. It doesn't work for us. It doesn't work for the normal guy. It only works for the elite. So,
you know what else works for the normal guy?
Breaks?
A break for commercials.
All right, let's go. All right.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural life-change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking life-change tea. So, are you drinking life-change tea? Interested? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes the body just needs a little help. Get the tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get life change tea at getthetea.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're continuing the special, the Peace Dollars special. You get 20 brilliant, uncirculated Peace Dollars. And again, I don't offer them very often because usually they're in circulated condition. And because of the design of the Peace Dollar, they just never held up very well under circulation. So the Morgans did a much better job when they were circulated of not being so worn looking. But I was able to pick up some great pricing on some brilliant uncirculated Peace Dollars. They're absolutely beautiful. And we're including a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, and your total package, including shipping, is $710. So make sure you give us a call and get some Peace Dollars for your portfolio. Add them to your silver collections. And these are not collectible coins. They're brilliant uncirculated. They're not mint state coins. But it's always good to diversify when you're adding gold and silver, when you're accumulating. So it's a great way to accumulate and diversify. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
We got some good news, at least for Amazon. This is from Reuters. It says Amazon to hire 120,000 temporary workers for the holiday season. Amazon.com said it would hire more than 120,000 seasonal workers in the United States for the holiday season, 20% more than last year, highlighting the growing threat the e-commerce giant poses to traditional retailers. U.S. retailers, on the other hand, such as Macy's, Target, Kohl's, said they plan to hire fewer temporary workers or keep seasonal employment levels little changed for this year as compared to last year. More than 14,000 seasonal positions, this is last year, more than 14,000 seasonal positions were transitioned to regular full-time roles by Amazon. In other words, I don't know if they apparently had 100,000 temporary workers for the holiday season last year, and they kept 14,000 as full-time employees after the holidays were over. U.S. National Retail Federation earlier this month forecast a 3.6% rise in holiday sales this year, with online sales expected to climb 7 to 10%. Point being is that, you know, it's not exactly news, but it's it bears repetition and repeating. Brick-and-mortar stores are going to have an increasingly difficult time competing with e-commerce. We are increasingly inclined to just pull up to the computer, pull out the MasterCard or Visa and place our orders and wait for somebody to deliver it, rather than get dressed, go downtown, and
we've got lazy.
Shop for it ourselves. We've got lazy, but also efficient, and it may be one of the reasons why we see less inflation in this country and more evidence, more deflationary pressures, not necessarily net deflation, but deflationary pressures. You go on the internet, you can find the cheapest price around. And a lot of people do. They don't just go up there and say, I'm going to buy from Amazon or wherever. They go up and they shop on the internet, and they can do it. They have programs that will find the cheapest price for a particular product. And then you can order it. And the problem with this, it seems like a wonderful invention. It seems like a wonderful thing. We can get our products at the lowest price possible by means of the internet. But the problem is, when we get prices at the lowest price possible, people who used to be involved in the distribution of products are no longer going to be paid. Yeah, you and I are getting a cheap price, but somebody, and maybe a number of somebodies, are being put out of work. And then they don't have any money to buy stuff, which adds more deflationary pressures. The internet itself is a deflationary mechanism because it tends to bring prices down. And I don't know how you weigh that influence against
the conventional. That's just competition now. Prices
I understand,
might go,
but
prices,
the, well, competition
let me finish.
Is in,
prices
enhanced.
Prices might go down, that's competition. However, deflation, though, also people don't buy until the price actually goes lower.
Sometimes.
But they don't, from one weekend to the next? You're talking about the American consumer. You're talking about the American consumer, that if they want something, they want to get rewarded right away. They have that need, they have this addiction. So I don't, you know, how long are they going to wait? Not very long.
And you can, again, if you're looking for a low price, it's hard to beat the internet for finding low prices. It's convenient.
Yeah,
the prices are low, saves you time, saves you gasoline and the rest of that sort of thing. By the time you get done, it's probably cheaper to have your product delivered by UPS than it is to go out and start your car, drive to the store, you don't see exactly what you want, drive to another store, you shop around. By the time you get the product, it probably costs more to do the shopping yourself than it costs to let UPS deliver your package. Yeah, you have to wait a couple of days to get UPS, but I'm just saying the net effect of the internet is deflationary, in my opinion.
I just think it's just competition.
Well, even if it is,
but
that's my point. The competition is so brutal that it winds up putting some people out of work.
Look at the prices on the things. You can't tell me that a lot of, and it's not here for a debate or argument on the program, but to me, I mean, look at what we're paying for things. I mean, we just lost, you know, 95% of the value of our dollar. It's expensive for what the stuff is. You get these cheap stuff. They should be selling for a lot less, considering where the stuff is made and where it comes from. I mean, you know, these people, you know, everything is made in all these foreign countries, and a lot of our inflation was exported over to these countries because you have China, Vietnam, you know, Malaysia, all these other places. And, you know, a shirt that sells for $15 should actually sell for $2, you know. There's still a lot of inflation that's built in there.
And no doubt it will. I mean, it creates incredible pressure on you talk about foreign countries. China's under a lot of pressure. They used to be cheap. People are buying their goods out of India or Bangladesh or some other country that's working even cheaper than China. And the whole world is, if you want a job, how cheap are you willing to work right now? And I guarantee we can find people who are willing to do your job for less money if we can outsource to foreign countries. And that's tending to hold down employment. It's part of the reason why employment is as high as some people allege. The official employment is less than 5%, but unofficially, some people think real unemployment is in the neighborhood of 22, 23%. That's Depression era levels of employment, if they're correct. It's perhaps, at least in part, a response to the internet and the extraordinary competition. It's just brutal. I mean, talk to your brick and mortar stores, mom and pop. They could sell things at a reasonable price and make a reasonable profit off of it. They can't do that anymore. So what's happened to Sears? I mean, people are being put out of business, and it goes to e-commerce. And when they're put out of business, a lot of people are put out of jobs. They don't have money to spend. There are adverse it's a wonderful thing for consumers, provided that you have a job. But if we keep buying the cheapest product available, sooner or later, we're not going to have a job. Dangerous times.
I don't consider automobiles selling at $35,000 and $40,000 for a base model. It's deflationary. Well, $30,000 maybe.
Well, and if you think in terms of the purchasing power of the dollar,
you can buy even Kias. I always thought Kias were inexpensive until I started looking at them. And it's just like, oh, okay, the way they price everything, their base models are, you know, competitive to everything else. But then as soon as you tack on power windows or air conditioning, then it just goes sky.
The wheels and an engine,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Forget the squirrels, but you know what? This is all out. It's all a sign of just how disconnected our whole economy, what things are based on. There's just a huge disconnect from reality for anything. I mean, we truly are living in a fantasy land because there isn't anything that truly makes sense. There isn't anything. You can't connect the dots. You know, and that's true. It's the truth. And it's like people might think, oh, wow, you know, it's Friday afternoon. But it is true. You know, there's just such a disconnect from everything. And what makes sense
in one area. I don't know
that
there's a disconnect per se.
What makes sense area.
But what used to be connected for decades and even generations is now the connections are temporary. We establish a connection with China or India or Bangladesh, and that connection is good for maybe a couple of years. There was a time when it was good for maybe a century. And that the length of the connections are still there, their connections there, but they are short term. And as soon as something else offers a better deal, bang. The first connection is abandoned, and a new one that offers a better deal is established. And that one will last only until somebody comes up with a cheaper product, a cheaper labor, whatever.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about everything, and I think what we're experiencing is because of this disconnect is in some eyes, you know, you could actually explain deflationary pressures. In other eyes, you can explain inflationary pressures, and I get that you can have both. But I think our monetary policy has been so disrupted, so changed, so far gone that we're at a point where we're either going to have to go back to a gold standard or rewrite the monetary policy because all of these things at one point in time that applied no longer do because of the corruptness, because of the way we're globalized. you know, whether you like it or not, we're globalized, folks. You know.
Well, we've been, but we're kind of pulling back from that right now. We'll be globalized again just as soon as globalized.
Things are changing. You know, it used to be our country was in the lead when we were being globalized. Well, that's not the case anymore.
I understand.
And there's other countries that want their positions.
Everybody does. Everybody does, and precisely, and they are struggling. The forces of trade, the competition has been fierce.
Greed.
Ruthless. Yes. Virulent. It's the sort of thing where, hey, what have you done for me lately? That's where it is. And if somebody else, if you can hire people for less money, bang. The employees that have been there, the countries that have been there, they're gone. They're suddenly unemployed. The competition is far more destructive than it was 20, 40 years ago.
Yeah,
there was competition. There was competition. Always been, but it was something that was a little gentler and a little more. It lasted for a period of time. Now, I mean, it's like trading on the stock markets with these high-speed internet or high-speed computerized trading programs. What incredible competition. They are buying and selling things in a fraction of a second. I mean, that's competition. You and I can't even keep up with that. Used to be, well, I think I'll buy some IBM, or maybe I should buy some General Motors, or, you know, you sat back and you thought for a week or two before you bought something. Nowadays, the opportunity is there. You better jump right now, and if you don't, you're going to miss the boat. That doesn't happen in all cases, but to a greater extent than was true 10, 20, 40 years ago. Now you got to move quickly, quickly, quickly. And it's really, I'm sure it is, it's adversely affecting, it's increasing the amount of stress on everyone. Everybody's got to be a little bit anxious.
How can you plan for your retirement?
That's one of
them. Do you know how many times, if I had a penny every time, or nickel, with inflation, a dime, that someone has mentioned to me, Melody, at my age, I never thought I'd have to worry about my money. Mm-hmm. I worked hard, I've saved, I put it in the bank, and now I'm retiring, and I don't know, you know, I didn't know I would be facing these challenges, because there's so much different information, and there is so much disconnect from the various things that make sense anymore. And it's difficult to make decisions. So,
well,
you know, people want
to
be conservative.
It's difficult to make decisions if you don't understand the fundamentals.
People,
I'm not saying that even understanding the fundamentals will make decisions easy, but without understanding the fundamentals, you are going to be simply bewildered. For example, you were just talking about someone who said, you know, I worked for my money, I saved and the rest, that sort of thing. Whoever you are talking to doesn't even know what money is.
Sure they do. They were buying gold. They were buying gold. They know exactly.
They weren't buying their whole. If they weren't buying for their whole when they their whole world their lifetime while they were saving up for their retirement.
They treated those green pieces of
paper as money, and most people still think of it as money, and they wonder, how could this happen? We don't have any savings. I saved all my life. I was saving my money. No, you didn't have money. You had currency, and people don't understand the difference between, and because we don't understand what money is, we have been saving in a medium that is unreliable. If people have been saving all along in terms of silver or gold, they wouldn't be complaining. They have money for their retirement right now. Their wealth would have been preserved. It is precisely because they accepted these green pieces of paper. They were foolish. They were ignorant. And now they're saying, what has happened here? They're beginning to see, oh my gosh, where did I go wrong? You went wrong when you elected politicians because they smiled at you, promised to kiss your butt and kiss your baby. Right? We bought the people, we buy these politicians as if they're coming from Central Casting in Hollywood. And they're not here to help us. They've betrayed us on a regular basis. People, now I'm in trouble. You know, what happened to my money? Well, you didn't have any money. Here's Rothschild. Here's an article from Kitco. As a matter of fact, I think I'll have to save it until we return from the break. But we'll just give you a thumbnail. One of the Rothschilds, from the Rothschild banking establishment, is just saying, look, he's betting on gold. He's saying, look, we're having a lot of trouble here. Things are strange. Things are weird. Not those aren't his words, but that's what it amounts to. And he says you have to worry more about preserving wealth than you do about acquiring wealth. And therefore, he and his organization are buying more gold and hanging on to less equities. Well, we'll talk about that more when we return, just to illustrate that these opinions we're trying to communicate on this program aren't simply our own. Important people with lots of money are coming around and say, yeah, gold, gold, gold. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on financial survival. We were mentioning an article from Kitco on Rothschild ups gold bets. That's the headline. Just a brief article. It says the central bankers continue their, quote, greatest experiment in monetary policy in history, unquote. It's important for investors to focus on preserving wealth. This according to one member of the Rothschild banking family. Now, what interests me, and it's consistent with what we've talked about earlier in the program, Rothschild is talking, quote, about the quote, greatest experiment in monetary policy in history. Now, it's not clear from this article what he means by this greatest experiment. Maybe he means quantitative easing. Maybe. Okay, but I don't think so. I think what he's talking about is when he says the greatest experiment in monetary policy in history, I think he's talking about a global debt-based fiat currency system. There really isn't any gold or silver money running around anymore. Not on official channels, and except for maybe a handful of countries in the world that might use gold or silver, but they're basically being run out. And he's saying this system is the greatest experiment in monetary policy in history. Well, you and I are being treated like a bunch of lab rats that are running through this maze. Somebody's come up with a great experiment. They say, let's try this. Well, it's turning out that their lab rats are having a problem with the experiment.
The experiment is not working, and that's the implication of Rothschild's comments. He says he's got to focus on preserving wealth. Why? He is anticipating that if you're storing your wealth in the form of paper, which is what we warned you about on this program for years, in the form of paper, could be paper currency, could be paper bonds, stocks, whatever, you're likely to lose your wealth. He says, no, preserve your wealth. And he says one way to do that is with gold. In times like these, like this, preservation of capital in real terms continues to be as important an objective as any in the management of your company's assets. Real terms, not paper terms. Real terms. He's saying much the same as we've been saying for years on this program. As such, his firm, which is London-based RIT Capital Partners, has reduced its exposure in equities and the pound sterling to 44 and 25% respectively, and at the same time they've increased their exposure to gold and precious metals by 8% by the end of June. Right? They are moving in the direction, and he is saying, look, you better figure a way to preserve your wealth. Right? Not just acquire more wealth, not look for a get-rich-quick scheme, but how do you hang on to the wealth you have? Why is that an important objective? Well, it's obvious that everybody wants to acquire wants to preserve their wealth. And no one would say that's an amazing requirement or recommendation. But when we preserve our wealth, it's against a time that Mr. Rothschild implicitly expects when much of the paper wealth of the world is going to be wiped out. And although you may only have a handful of gold coins, for example, that handful is going to be so much more than the people who have, than what people have who've trusted their wealth to paper debt instruments, that you will suddenly find yourself not just having preserved your wealth, but suddenly being relatively rich compared to your neighbors, right, the people in your community. Why? You got a handful of gold. All of a sudden, when the paper fails, the gold and the silver are going to increase in value dramatically. And Rothschild does not say that in this article, but he implies it. Preserve wealth. Why? Because he's anticipate and preserve it in real terms. Why? Because he's anticipating the destruction of much of the paper wealth in this country. We've been warning you of that for years. So point is, there's Rothschild, and he's saying, ha, 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 you know, get some gold. Where do we are? HSBC, one of the biggest banks in the world, says a global trade slowdown is a reason to buy gold. Analysts at HSBC are telling clients that gold may be about to have another shining moment, as the precious metal status as a safe haven asset could boost prices given the prospect of a looming downward shift in globalization. They go on from there, but the important point is, here's one of the biggest banks in the world, and they're saying, Better get some gold. It's likely to do very well in the foreseeable future. They are not selling doom and gloom relative to gold. They are implicitly saying you better hang on to your wealth. And you'd better buy gold now because there's a good chance that your paper dollars are going to lose value over the course of the next several years. They're going to lose value. If you're storing your wealth in terms of paper, you're going to be hurt. If you're storing your wealth in terms of gold or silver, you will almost certainly come out, you will at least preserve your wealth, and in my opinion, you'll see that your wealth will actually be dramatically increased.
Melody. I do not disagree. And?
You did, yes. Melody. I'd have to tell the boss to fire you.
Uh-oh. And it's so true. You know, what's the old saying is today, in today's world, it's not about a return on your money. It's a return of your money.
Yeah, exactly.
And it goes along the same, you know, rule of thumb.
People in positions of power are talking about this.
Yes.
You know, we've been doing it for several years, and people in positions of power.
We've been doing it for
22. I've been doing it for several years. And people in positions of power have basically ignored what we had to say about this. But now they're coming around. And they're saying, yeah, I think maybe you better get some gold. You know, just problems are stacking up, and in a problematic world, gold is a good idea. It's just a safe haven. Here's another one from CNBC. Red alert for U.S. stocks with very high chance of severe fall. And this is a warning again. This is coming from CNBC, but it's provided by an HSBC technician. The possibility of a severe fall in the stock market is now very high, warns technical analyst at HSBC, who've dialed up the bank's outlook for the U.S. stock market to red alert following an aggressive wave of selling. The warning points to similarities between the Dow Jones Index trading patterns seen just prior to the 1987 Black Monday stock market crash and now. Now, I'm not convinced that the similarities in the trading patterns, I don't know. To me, there's a certain amount of reading tea leaves in here. I don't doubt that it may be significant. I don't discount it as having no significance, but it's certainly not an absolute indicator, because things are looking a lot like they did in 1987.
Well, it's just like reading
It's
reading the charts.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, and I think when you have a manipulated world, and the trading has changed, the way trading has changed, I think it's very difficult to, you know, and I agree with you. It's the patterns could certainly,
they can look the same, but we live in a different context, and they may or may, it doesn't mean just because the pattern is the same, we're going to see the same result.
But what I do say that,
and there are people in positions of power that are saying, yeah, this could happen.
Let me just say this one thing though. How many other things have we talked about that are similar or very close to the same as 2008, 2009? Back to 1987, where there's so many. So it's just not this one. There's a lot of reports and situations that are tied and are very closely or very similar to these times when stock markets crash. So it's not just this one. There's multiple ones.
We talked about this earlier this week. We see a rising number of seemingly credible sources that are warning that there's going to be some sort of a stock market crash, a significant stock market crash, in the foreseeable future, and they're not talking about 2 or 3 years from now. They're implying that this could happen in the next quarter or two. They haven't said that clearly. Nobody knows that's going to happen for a fact, but they are warning could be, could be, could be, could be. It's like somebody on the Titanic saying, I'm telling you, if we hit one of these icebergs, we're going to sink, and everybody's, oh, no. We can't sink on. This is the Titanic. It can't possibly sink. Don't you understand? And this guy's saying, no, could be. And then we got somebody else saying, could be, could happen. Pretty soon, you get enough people saying this, and you have to think, you know, maybe it could happen. And that's, you know, that's what we're alerting people to on the program right now. We're just saying, look, we are at a point that is potentially dangerous, and, you know, get your life preserver. Maybe you won't need it, but maybe you will. You know, one thing about this, as many articles and comments as we see from sources like Jacob Rothschild and or HSBC, and I don't recall how many others have warned us about impending danger. How many reports do you see that are celebrating impending improvement, impending success? All right, something's going to happen. The market's going to 50,000. I don't hear any of those reports. There may be a very few around. I don't doubt there are a few optimists running around, but they are few and far between.
Idiots.
Everybody. Without the crystal ball or the gift of prophecy, no one exactly knows. But there is a point to this when you see out of 100 people, 90 of them, 100 credible people, and 90 of them are saying, we're headed for trouble, and 10 are saying, well, I don't think so, or maybe things are going to work out. How are you going to place your bet? You know, you could take the long shot and bet with a 10 out of 100 who say things are going to get better, or you could bet with the 90% who are credible, and they're saying, we got trouble here. And if you believe them, then what's your job? You need to protect your capital as best you can. Here's an article from Reuters about Deutsche Bank. And it reminds me of death by a thousand cuts. Deutsche Bank considers thousands more job cuts to Deutsche Bank is the biggest bank, Germany's biggest bank, and one of the four or five biggest in the world, if I understand correctly. Deutsche Bank's finance chief told staff representatives last month that job cuts at the bank could be double that which had been previously planned, a step that could remove another 10,000 employees. Although no such decision has yet been taken, Marcus Schenck's remarks at an internal meeting signal the lender is considering further significant job cuts as it faces a multi-billion-dollar euro fine and a crisis of confidence among investors. Schenck said that the bank would need to cut another 10,000 staff to bring costs down. All right. Can you fire 10,000 people out of your business to bring costs down without also compromising your ability to generate income? You might be able to with automation and computers and the rest of that. Maybe you can render 10,000 people. No longer, we don't need them anymore, maybe, and we can still make as much or more money. But odds are, if you're going to fire 10,000 people, you're also going to lose. You're not just going to cut costs, you're going to cut gross. You're going to cut your income. The article continues, it says, such cuts, if agreed, would likely take many years, but setting such a goal could reassure investors that the bank is determined to tackle costs that sources said the European Central Bank sees as bloated. Well, if the Deutsche Bank is going to cut 10,000 more jobs over a period of many years, that doesn't signal that Deutsche Bank expects to be growing during those many years. All right? We're going to cut 10,000 jobs over the course of the next 5 years or 10 years. Let's say that. All right. What does that, do they expect to be growing during the 5 or 10 years? They could, with automation and the rest of it, but odds are, if they're laying off that many people, it implies that they expect to make less money. Translates a whole business. If 10,000 additional jobs were ultimately to follow the 9,000 announced by management in October of 2015, roughly 1 in 5 of the bank's workforce would be affected, which is to say fired, 20%. You can't look at that and say, oh great, you know, this is cause for celebration for Deutsche Bank. And you can't look at it, given Deutsche Bank's relationship to the German economy, given Deutsche Bank's status as one of the half dozen biggest banks in the world, sit back and say this is another one of those leaves in the breeze, like a report from Jacob Rothschild or a report from HSBC that we're headed for trouble. Now, Deutsche Bank's problems are primarily Deutsche Bank's problems, and Deutsche Bank may go into trouble regardless of whether you and I are going into trouble, but Deutsche Bank is big enough where if they are hitting the wall, right, well, then their odds are they're going to have an adverse effect on the German economy, the European Union economy, global economy, U.S. economy. Whether it's going to be big or small remains to be seen. But, you know, another one of those leaves in the breeze says, get ready. What are you going to do to get ready? You're going to preserve your wealth as best you can, and one of the best ways you can possibly do that is with gold or silver. Melody and I are out of time for today. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back on Monday. We hope you tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.